This is good, but what is best in life?
The open step. Free thoughts. Falcons at your wrist. With wind in your hair.
Wrong! Conan, what is best in life?
To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good. That is good.
Welcome to the Objective Secure podcast. My name's Mike.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And this is episode 28, Conquering CanCon. We're going to be talking today with one half of the TOs for CanCon 2019, Chris Moore, aka Unicage.
Okay, no, we're talking to one half of the CanCon TOs for the 40K event.
That is true. He's coming on with us shortly to chat about the 40K side of CanCon, about ITC and ITC in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And cover some of the history of CanCon and just answer a bunch of questions that we put together, basically. So that's our main topic for tonight. We're going to be talking all about that and hopefully convincing some of you listening to make the trip to Canberra from wherever abouts you are in the world, be it Australia or abroad.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do, we should talk very quickly about what's been going on since we've got Masters. At the time of recording, it's 2 weeks away.
But by the time we publish this, it will be about 10 days away.
It will be, yes. So our fourth annual Warhammer 40K Masters for Western Australia is, just over 2 weeks away now.
Just around the corner. 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yep. I've paid all the bills for it, so it's definitely going ahead.
Have you ordered the medals?
No, because I'm going to talk to you about that today, actually. Mm. I need you to do a piece of artwork for me. What? The trophies were awesome at show, so we're going to do another one.
Right, it'll work for me.
Yeah, it's only one little thing. We do have our 40K Masters not far away now. 2,000 points, 2 days, 6 games, ETC champion tournament missions, team event missions. So that's...
South Perth Community Centre, yes. 17, 18 of November.
And tickets are available through our website, objectivesecure.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go to the Facebook page and there's links there as well.
There's links everywhere.
There is links everywhere. So we've got that just around the corner. But we've got two announcements that I wanted to make in this intro before we get stuck into the topic.
Mm-hmm. Just if you missed it on our Facebook Live last Wednesday.
On Halloween.
Or if you missed it in the newsletter that I've just shared it in again.
Or if you missed it on that's been published on the actual Facebook page itself over the last couple of days as well.
So I think what we're actually saying is we don't need to talk about this because we've well and truly covered it.
Look, I'm hopeful that the fact that RSS feeds are a thing, which means you can get this podcast without going to any of those places, that it's important to share those things. So we're going to start with the first one, which we're pleased to announce our partnership with Hammerhead Games. Hammerhead... and Tony at Hammerhead specifically, we have to give a shout out and a thank you to for working with us with this.
Now, I believe you met Tony at LVO in 2017.
Yeah, in 2017. And I had a brief chat with him then, not quite understanding or realising where we would end up 2 years later.
No, we never do.
So Hammerhead do a whole bunch of templates and tokens and wound trackers and game trackers and... it's just a whole raft of gaming accessories, not just for 40K, but also for Age of Sigmar, does X-Wing, they do a bunch of bolt action stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really wide range of stuff. If you check out Hammerhead Games, I believe it's .net, but there'll be a link in the show notes for it just to be safe. You can check it out. We're working with him to bring the product to Australia and New Zealand. He is based out of California, and getting anything to Australia has just been prohibitive postage-wise. So by having an Australian distributor, it means they can ship in bulk, which means that you're not paying $80 for a template. You can pay the normal price with a few dollars of postage and you'll actually get it at a comparable price here in Australia. So the deal is still being finalized in terms of all the pricing structure. We've got most of it down, and we've got our samples here as well, which are going to be going up for sale shortly. We're hoping to have all of this locked away and launched for Christmas, so you'll be able to buy them before you head to CanCon. And we might even try and work something out with Chris and CanCon for 2019 and beyond. So big thank you to Tony and Hammerhead. We're going to make sure that there's links to all the products there, and you'll no doubt see it posted on the Facebook page. And once the website is live, we'll make sure that's announced and linked as well. I'm a big fan of the Dark Elder Pain Token, all the combat drug templates. So My Witch Cult needs a bunch of them, which is great.
Needs. It's an interesting use of that word.
It definitely needs them to keep track of those combat drugs. I've got like 13 units that need combat drugs. You need those tokens.
Needs.
It also helps that we got two in the sample pack, one that I might have nabbed for myself, and one that sold immediately upon me mentioning it to another Dark Elder player. So, yeah.
I'll be ordering some more of those.
Might need some more of those, yeah. But I'll get some pictures and make sure they go in the show notes as well, so you can check out some of the cool ones. The game tracker is my favorite, though. And I've had plenty of people, when I've taken that down to Crags recently, go, oh my God, I need one of those. So we've still got a handful of those here. So yeah, we'll be sharing a lot more from Hammerhead shortly.
Yeah, and so in the newsletter that I've just sent out at the time that we're recording this, but half a week ago by the time you're listening to it, I did talk about the fact that as the wife of a gamer, it can be quite tricky to know what to get you for Christmas, because, you know, what you decide you need for an army does change quite quickly.
Yes, it can.
And you're buying and selling things, and I can't keep up with what you've got and what you want and what you wanted last week and how that's changed because you've read something, and how that interacts with something else has changed. And so now you don't want that anymore. You want four of them and two of them. And so trying to work out what to actually get you for your army is difficult. But things like this can be relatively easy for family members to pick up for you for Christmas and stocking stuffers and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I guess if it's something that you're interested in, it's always good to be able to tell family that, hey, check this out.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of cool.
So we'll make sure there's plenty of information probably the second week in December when we're back from our trip to the UK. But I'll try and get as much of it up and done before we leave, but nothing will get posted before we get back, basically. Unless you order it like right upon hearing this and I'm ahead of the game.
Well, I did say that we'll be taking it to Masters with us, and so...
Oh, okay. That's good for me to know.
I know. I'm sharing. So, yeah, we'll have a whole heap of stuff at Masters. So we'll have the Hammerhead stuff at Masters, and we'll have some of our OBSEC merchandise that people may want to pick up as Christmas presents as well.
And we'll also have some of the miniature scenery stuff as well.
Yes.
So we've got some extra stuff that we ordered for show. Yep. So we're going to bring that along as well if anyone's interested in picking some of it up.
And speaking of Christmas presents, one of the other things that we are doing is we're going to be offering OBSEC gift vouchers. So, you know, if you've got family members that want to buy you gift vouchers to go towards events for next year, then, you know, that's a possibility as well.
Yeah. So that's the first of our...
He's just giving me a look as if to go, are we? Yeah, we had a whole conversation about this. Like half an hour talking about it, and he's just looked at me as if this is the first time he's hearing about it.
I'm going to claim plausible deniability. Moving on.
Well, it's recorded now, so you know about it. And by the way, I've promised people you'll have it up on the website this week. So
you know,
get on that.
You know, darling. I can edit things, right? So that was their first treat from our Trick or Treat live stream. The second treat was more a treat for us, I suppose. We have launched our own Patreon. If you saw the announcement that we made on the 1st of November, Emma and I, we're not great at self-promotion, particularly when it comes to financial self-promotion. And it's been a long time coming to get this off the ground and understanding what it does, and I still managed to screw it up. But it's all live and everything now. We've launched it in an effort to essentially give more content to people who want to support us and help us in... basically creating better quality content.
Yeah.
And that's improving microphones and hardware and software to make sure that we're giving the best possible content out there that we possibly can. It'll also then start looking to the future of how we engage with local community. And obviously there's a few big pie in the sky ideas that you know, we'd like to reach for it in the not too distant future. So We've taken the plunge with Patreon. We've already, at the time of recording, we already have 4 patrons, which is absolutely amazing. And I have to thank each of them, Steve, Aaron, Kyle, and Anthony, in that order. Did I get it right?
No.
No.
You said Steve first.
No, I got Aaron first.
Aaron, Steve, Kyle, Anthony.
Yes. Who all jumped on within 24 hours of us announcing it.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of humbling, because it was certainly wasn't something I was expecting. So thank you very much for our 4 current patrons. If you are a patron at the time of hearing this and your name was not mentioned, it's because we're in the past. But we have to say thank you to all 4 of them so far. And we've already, exclusive podcast is already available for patrons.
Mm-hmm.
A copy of the Tabletop Tournament Prep Guide that
I heavily edited, suggested a whole heap, and yeah.
That's the 43-44 page document. That's all available for them as well. And we're already talking about ideas for patrons-only events and
mm-hmm.
patrons-only videos and early access stuff and everything. So it's really exciting, and the guys are getting really involved, which...
always helps.
Yeah, look, it means we can give them a content that they actually want.
Yeah, the idea is that we are trying to create content that the community wants. So if you tell us what you want, it certainly makes it easier to
do
that. Yeah,
definitely. So it's really exciting for us. If you feel like checking it out, head on over to patreon.com/objectivesecured.
Mm-hmm.
$5 a month gets you...
It's $5 US.
Yes.
Works out to be about $7 Australian.
It's not what we see, though. Not after the fees and charges.
But that's still...
No.
You know, we need to be aware that it is US dollars.
Yep. And the pledge levels do say that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So about the cost of, what, 2 cups of coffee,
yeah.
maybe?
And
or one really big cup of coffee?
a drink at the pub.
Mm. Yeah.
So we really appreciate that support. There are a couple of higher levels which we start giving out a bunch of free stuff.
Yep.
But thank you very much to the 4 patrons that we presently have at time of recording. And we hope that a few more of you feel the need to... do the same, but
yeah,
we're going to continue doing what we're doing.
That's it. Nothing will change if you're not a member. The idea is just that if you do support us through, I can never say, is it Patreon?
Patreon.
So if you do join us through Patreon, then all of the funds that we will pretty much, because we're a social enterprise, all of the funds that we generate through Objective Secured go right back into the community. And whether that's through, you know, goes back into creating more events or buying more terrain, or buying more MDF, which apparently we need because we've just got more terrain and now have no MDF to put it on, or buying new cameras and recording equipment. It's so
just things like hosting fees, insurances, licenses, all those sorts of things.
All those things. So it goes straight back into the community so that we can create
keep doing more content. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're our 2 biggest announcements for the time being. Although... because this is another podcast, I now have to update everyone on the Dark Elder that I have been working on.
Okay.
It
doesn't seem to have changed much.
It has. It definitely has.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it.
Well, look, these ones have all been built. So, at
these
this
ones, yeah.
At the time of recording, the army now looks thusly.
Thusly.
I'm sure that's a word.
I don't think it is.
I built her, so I've now got my 3
You're saying that. Nobody knows what that is.
I'm going to take a photo of it and put it on the
okay.
in the show notes.
Let's not pick up.
I'm sure also showing it to you because you haven't seen it yet.
All right.
So I now have 3 succubi for the 3 HQs. The third one needs a little bit of green stuff work, but she's a whip.
She's got a few holes in her hip.
Yeah, that's the green stuff. She's a whip-wielding succubus for the Triptech whip relic. And I showed it to a friend of mine who went, "Did you have all those bits in your bits box?" And I went, "Yes." And he went, "That's a really expensive conversion. It's the legs of a Scourge, the torso from Yvraine, the sash from a box of Harlequins, and the arms and the head from the Sisters of Slaughter Age of Sigmar kit."
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I had all of that in my bits box, which is really cool.
So the idea with these, you're trying to create a Harlequin-esque feel to them.
Yeah, dark Harlequins, essentially. Messed up biker gang cross... evil Harlequins.
Beautiful.
So I've got my 3 succubi now assembled and ready to go. I've got 20 Hellions all assembled and ready to go. I have a total of 30 Witches all assembled, ready to go. 18 Reaver jet bikes all done, ready to go. 2 Forge World Reapers, 2 Void Raven Bombers, a Razorwing jet fighter, 2 Venoms, a Beastmaster, and 3 Razorwing Flocks. That's all assembled and ready for undercoat and prep. So it's all been cleaned and all the rest of it. And now it's the moment of airbrush truth, because I'm going to be doing them in yellow. So I'm going to start with...
Are you doing the candy yellow again?
I'm going to try to, yeah. Which is a bit of a risk, but what the hell. Well. I'm going to start with the Venoms, because I feel like they're the most disposable for me to ruin.
The cheapest, but also easiest to rebuild?
The Venoms.
Yeah,
perfect. Everything in the army is converted, including the Venoms. They have modified crew to match the theme. But because the hull is basically standard, if I ruin it, then I can buy a new one and replace the hull, and I still end up with half a Venom. But the rest of it's a bit more awkward to replace, because I have to say thank you to the community locally for providing me with all the extra Harlequin bits, because despite my extensive Harlequin bits box, I ran out. Mm. So a few people basically said, "Hey, I've got spares, come and get them." And some have delivered them and some have given them to me, and I picked them up for different places. So I have to say thank you to the guys in Perth for, letting me finish building this army. Although I do need 9 more Razorwing flocks, technically.
Okay. Well.
But that's over 2,000 points then, so.
Oh, well, then you don't need them.
I definitely need them.
I don't think you do.
I do, because that way I can change it up.
Mm.
Maybe we'll buy them while we're in Nottingham.
Or maybe you could finish this one first.
I'm not going to paint 3 of them when I squad of 12. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Chris about all things CanCon 2019. Well, we're here to get to the main topic for today, which is to talk to CanCon TO and all-round nice guy Chris, aka Unicage on Facebook. How are you going, Chris?
Pretty good, yourself?
Good, thanks, mate. Good. Thanks very much for joining us and for working out the 3-hour time difference with us to get this recorded. We appreciate that.
No, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here today and talking about how events happen around the rest of Australia as well.
Yeah, and certainly one of the biggest events, if not the biggest event that happens in the country, although
it's further down my list of questions.
We're closing on him. We're closing on him. Although I do think that if we come to CanCon, you have to come to show.
Yeah, I think that's only fair.
So
sounds fair.
I notice your wife isn't in the room, whereas mine is. So yeah. I'm sort of being hamstrung here at the moment, mate. But look, before we get stuck in too much to CanCon, why don't we learn a little bit about you? Let's start with gaming credentials. How long have you been gaming?
With my own army, only about 3 to 4 years. I got into 40K, via my brother from second or third edition. He had I think Elder at the time or whatever. And I remember watching him paint the models and build the models and stuff, older brother. And, I just fell in love with it, thought it was awesome. Didn't have any money though at the time.
And you've got kids now, so you still don't.
Yeah. but it would have been about maybe 4 years ago. I'd moved back to Canberra with Defence, and this is when I was still in. And I remembered randomly going to Jolt one day, which is one of the stores here, and seeing it. I'm like, oh, 40K. Oh, cool. This is still a thing. And found the Tyranid Codex and just fell in love with it. And then found Gene Stealer Cult came back out, and then I just went crazy with it.
And now somehow you've managed to get yourself roped into running one of the biggest 40K events in the country.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk a little bit about CanCon then, now that we know a little bit about your gaming history in regards to getting back into the hobby in recent years. What is CanCon?
Well, yeah, so we're going to put you on the spot here. Do you know how long CanCon has actually been going and what the history is for CanCon?
I'm pretty sure last year was 20 or 40. I don't know which one it was.
I'm going to say 20 because 40K wasn't around for 40. But I don't know whether it was running pre-Games Workshop.
I don't know. It's a really good question. It's one of those things where I know it's been around for ages.
Oh, look, my understanding was definitely it's been around for more than a couple of years, but we were just curious.
I'm pretty sure last year they had their 20th anniversary.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they had shirts. like they were selling shirts or something last year. But it's yeah, it's like it's like a version of show, where except instead of where I'm just TOing the 40k event, where you guys run and show and do all the hard stuff, I do the, I get the easy job.
Look, being a TO is never easy.
No,
don't undersell well, that by any stretch of the imagination.
Easier than organizing all the event and everything as well. I only have to worry about one
event.
Yeah.
Maybe we can fly him over to run 40k for me next year rather than me running around like a blue ass fly.
I'll do that if you fly me out.
So how long have you been involved with CanCon?
This coming one will be my fourth CanCon. This is the second time I've TO'd it.
Oh, cool. So what did you, what were your big learnings from last year?
That's a really good question.
See, I'm full of these good questions.
It's all right. We can edit out some of the quiet and post. It's fine.
Herding cats is a thing.
Oh, yeah, it really is. Yep.
Only TOs get it.
Yeah.
You don't realize it until you do it, and then you go, oh, my God.
And having spent time actually herding cats, you know what? I reckon it's easier to herd cats than it is to herd gamers.
Yeah, probably. It's the whole concept of having a very good, well-rounded players pack, but then knowing that no one will read it. Mm-hmm. So being like the whole intro speech, like getting a really good, like, listen, this is what the event's about. This is what I need you to do. If you have a problem, you need to come and tell us ASAP. Like having that you know, having the right foot forward straight away. You got to be on the ball. That was probably the biggest takeaway we took away from last year. This year.
So yeah. for those listeners of ours that are listening, you've probably heard us say some very similar things over at events or on podcasts or in person or on the live stream before.
Yeah.
It's not just us.
So what's something, I've got a list of questions and none of these are on it, but what's something that you did for this year's event that you think, oh God, that is not happening again next year?
What do you mean as in?
Was there anything where you looked at it and you just went, yeah, no, that really didn't work, where that needs to change for next year?
Yeah, some of the not slow play, but we had some problems with not really like abusive players, but there was like some kind of slow play-ish shenanigans going on. And we had a big conversation after the event. Me and, because I co-TO with a guy from Orange called Chris Yates.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of Friday Night Gaming. And we sat down and had a really big conversation about like, we need to nip this in the bud. And get real serious about it. And so we brought in a bunch of things this year that we plan to hope negate all of that. And we're bringing in a new ITC, are bringing in a flag system, should be out before LVO. We're going to utilize that. We're going to be real strict on it.
So that's the yellow card, red card style.
Yeah, yellow card, red card style. Like we were pretty harsh this year with like if you're screwing up. And, like, we had two people that blew up at people, like, full just, like, yelling and swearing and stuff.
Oh.
And we're, like, one guy, we calmed him down. We calmed the other guy down pretty easily, and they both said sorry or whatever. One dude, though, was just adamant that he was in the right and the other dude was in the wrong, but he was the only dude, like, throwing stuff and yelling stuff at him. And we just, yeah, we gave him a warning and said, like, you know, it's up to you. This is the last game of day one. You want to come back tomorrow? That's on you. But if you raise your voice, even like you're done, right? You can't do this. You're meant to be an adult. What are you, like 32?
Yeah. Well, look, we've dodged a lot of. We probably have one or two situations a year across all the events that we have that we deal with.
We've never had anyone.
We've had some yelling. We've had a little bit of yelling.
One of them was you. But
yes, look, I did have to tell them in no uncertain terms that this was the way it was happening.
Mm.
But you know, it's I think it's a testament. Largely to Australian gamers that we do only, you know, even at the biggest of events, we tend to only have one or
it's
two
really
of those sorts of incidents.
Minority,
it's such a small percentage of players that it happens with. Because generally speaking, when you're going to these big events, you're going along for the experience and for the fun and, you know, to be part of it. And it's those sort of weird personality clashes that you see that trigger these things more than the game itself, I find.
Well, more so, like if you're traveling across the country, like if you come into Canberra from Melbourne or from Queensland or even from WA, if we get any people from WA, like that's a long way to travel.
It is a long way to travel.
Full lose it on day one and get booted.
Yeah.
Because if we boot you from an event, you're not getting a refund. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care that like your mates, you have to watch your mates play. Just get booted. We'll go to CGS, kick you out of the whole of, like, event. You won't be able to go to CanCon at all.
No.
So you're putting in place next year the red card, yellow card system,
yep,
or the flag system, 100%. How that will change. 100%. Are there any other things? So you said that you and Chris spoke and there's a couple of different things that you're implementing. Is there?
Oh, chess box. So top eight from day two, a forced chess clock.
Okay.
We had like chess clocks this year, but it was more you make a slow play complaint and we give you a chess clock and we go like, you know, we make a decision and, you know, there's only an hour or 40 minutes left. So one person gets, three quarters of the time, the other person gets a quarter and stuff like that. We're changing the way we do that. We're making it very clear before each round, hey, if you need a chess clock because you think your opponent's going to play slow, or, you know, you personally need a chess clock, or you have like a time problem, you need to come and see us in the first half an hour to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like a big push in that. We got, we got more TOs this time. So we got two helpers, which are sitting from day two, that those two guys are just sitting at the top eight tables.
Oh, okay.
So we can kick around.
Well, I mean, last year you guys had, was it 128?
128.
Wow.
And obviously your goal is to exceed that this year. And
got to 200.
I think, am I right in saying that...
Have you got 200 at the moment? Is that right?
No, I was about to say...
91.
I was going to say, you're ahead of... You're ahead on last year, aren't you? I saw that posted on Facebook at one point.
Yeah, no, we didn't get to 90 people last year till like the 5th of January or something.
And you guys run on the Australia Day long weekend, don't you?
Yep. So this year it's the 26th, 27th, 28th. It's a 3-day event, 8 rounds. Unlike LVO, there's no like weird top bracket thing. It's just like hardcore win 8 games.
So before we go too much further as well, if you guys want to check out CanCon, the website links, tickets, all those sorts of things will be in the post that goes along with this in the show notes.
Yep.
So if you're interested in checking out CanCon, there'll be links to the Facebook page, all the other good stuff, so you can go and grab your tickets. I know that there are still tickets available, like we just said, and the guys, if you're in the 90s now, you'd hope that you're breaking 100 by Christmas without any struggle. So it looks like it's going to be one of the biggest events in the country.
ARC is, I think ARC's 160.
No, they put more tickets out. I reckon they're going to hit 200.
Yeah, 200? Ah, damn it.
We had the same thought, mate. Trust me.
Because ARC is that weird event where it's like, it's not competitive.
There's a few differences there. I mean, in reality, you're dealing with 1,350 point armies, which are obviously a lower barrier to entry for players. It's
I wanted to take that. I wanted to take that biggest 40k event in Australia.
Yeah.
They released 150, then they released 10 more, and then yesterday they came out, or was it this morning, came out and said the 30 that are on the wait list, you've all been converted to actual tickets, but you got 24 hours to buy them, and then we've added 10 more to make it up to 200, and then like half an hour later it said, we've now got 3 left. So
yeah,
I reckon
they should easily do that.
They'll hit 200, I would suspect.
So
I don't know what they're going to do with terrain though. Is it 1350 on six times four board?
I believe they're on 6x4s.
That's a lot of terrain.
Yeah.
We know. Preaching to the choir there.
That's so much terrain. And even like unless you got like a mad Knights of Dice hookup. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Knights of Dice are in Melbourne. And they love supporting events, but yeah, that's like 200 for us. We're confident. Like we came up with the number of 200, before we sat down for a while and like talked about what terrain we're going to do in that. And then we came to the conclusion of 200 and we figured out that we could do it. But like, I can't see us going over 200 unless the people that are buying tickets are bringing
their own terrain with them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is a thing we did last year, because last year we capped it at 90, and then we extended every, like in lots of 10 all the way up to, we had 136 paid, and then it, bunch of dudes dropped, didn't even rock up, which is really weird because they paid for like a $75 ticket.
Yeah, we don't get too many that that don't turn up. I mean, we get
two
or three, four maybe for most of the bigger events. Like for First Blood at the start of the year, we had, I think it was 96 tickets sold, and we had 92 turn up. Mm. And
it's really good.
It is, but it was those four people not turning up was really quite frustrating because we had a big waiting list for that particular event, and so it was really upsetting that they didn't come and didn't, you know, we didn't have the opportunity to say to the people who were waiting, "Hey, look, there is this opportunity for you to come." But you know,
I mean,
not much we can do about it now.
I suppose though that's an exponential thing. I mean, 10 dropping from 138 to 100. Would you say 136, 138 for last year?
138 paid, 126 came.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're talking less than 10% at that stage.
Yeah.
And like you say, they paid and they didn't turn up. So.
Yeah, we got their prize money still. So.
Yeah.
and I suppose though that. Like you were saying, if the crowd are going to bring the terrain, then that obviously presents a risk as well. I mean, we invested
because we do crowd. We don't like we're not a gaming club.
Mm.
Like I'm part of a team, Team Point On. We're just I think we're like six dudes now. Like, do you know what I mean? We don't like, we've got a bunch of terrain like me and my brother do, but it's only because we went to CanCon. Got a crazy deal with Knights of Dice for CanCon prize board this year. And then I was just like, I love this terrain. And I bought a chunk of it. And I did the same thing at WinterCon with the FLG terrain. But we're just six dudes.
Yeah.
And then like Friday Night Gaming, they have the ability because they're a club and they hold like monthly events and there's a membership and
all that crap. We kind of sit in the same boat you guys are in that we're not a club in any way, shape, or form. We're independent.
You're like event specialists? I
suppose that's the best way to describe it because we now have more terrain than the clubs.
Yeah.
Individually, at least, we have more terrain than the clubs.
We've got what? About 35? No, we've probably got closing on 40.
Oh, we've got those three. Yeah. So, we've got the better part of 40 tables worth of terrain. We're actually short on MDF again.
Awesome.
we completely get your pain and it's a product of your own success, I guess, because as you start building the hype and you're getting more and more players, then suddenly you start thinking, oh, where do I get this stuff from?
Yeah.
And unless you've got good relationships with the clubs and stuff, it's...
That's 100% the only reason why CanCon is alive.
Yeah.
Or the 40K part. I say CanCon, where CanCon's huge.
Yeah, like we're talking specifically about 40K at this point.
Yeah, 40K. Like, if we didn't have such a good relationship with, like, Friday Night Gaming, the Aussie Battler guys from Sydney, you had, like, the Liverpool... they're not called Liverpool... Legion, whatever dudes, other dudes from Sydney. And then there's Overwatch Gaming. If we didn't have such a good relationship with them, that's, like, two-thirds of the terrain not coming.
Yeah.
Because they've just got, like, tons of the terrain. And then you've got all the dudes from Victoria that are coming... Death Touch Dojo, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
It's like Lee Abbey's team. Menza, Jeremy's coming this year, so like Menza's back. And then there's like another team down there that are coming, I'm pretty sure. But like, you know what I mean, they're all bringing terrain. We're lucky enough this year, or this coming year, to have Frontline Gaming, because they jumped on as a sponsor. They said they'll provide every single mat.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
So, like, a big problem with, like Overwatch, they've got so many mats because Overwatch are, like, a giant club.
Yeah.
Like, they're huge. They have, like, a lot of members and they got a lot of terrain. But, like, bringing terrain and mats with them, like, they're rocking up to events with, like, 22 mats.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, 15 tables of terrain. Like, just they're filling too many cars and stuff like that. So it was, like, costing them more money to come to events because you couldn't really carpool.
I think part of the issue that most players don't think about when you start talking about this sort of logistics is how you move the stuff around.
Yeah, it's, that's exactly
when you start
crowding. It's all well and good having it, but you got to get it places.
All the time. you rock up to new events and you're like, great, I didn't actually check this box and half the terrain's broken. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it's a constant struggle with terrain in terms of repair and maintenance, and because players will break stuff mid-game and they'll sort of bodge it, or they'll balance it, or they'll just leave it or chuck it in the tub that's under the table, and then you don't find it until you're either going through it at a later date or the next event when you're setting it up and go, oh crap, that's broken.
Super glue.
Yeah. It is a constant source of frustration for, I'm assuming it's all TOs in regards to terrain, because we've hit a point where we can't actually transport all of our terrain and tables in one go, and we've got trailers and all sorts.
That's insane.
It's actually a significant hurdle on some weekends.
Well, that was our biggest issue for WATC when we had
was it
120?
120 players,
120
yeah.
players. Was that, you know, being able to get all the terrain and the tables, plus we had to take extra trestle tables there.
Yeah, we had to buy trestle tables for that event.
Yeah, it was...
Jesus.
Yeah. It was just mammoth.
The hall only has 40 in it, and we needed 60, so we had to go and buy 20.
Yeah.
And, of course, then you're trying to transport...
you've got to get 20 there all of those kinds of things.
So we completely get some of the logistic challenges as well.
I like the... it hasn't happened in Australia yet, but I would love for it to happen eventually. Is like what they do at the LVO or other big events over there, where you get someone that is a terrain distributor and you buy somehow on the cheap like a ton of terrain and build it all before the event, and then they sell it at the event, post it.
Ah.
Well, at the ELVO in 2017 when I was there, they were selling all the old fat mats because it was around that time that Table War and FLG parted ways.
Yep.
And they were selling all of the old mats, and that was just as they were there were preview mats for like the Necron board and the Orc board, and there was a third one that they were just as FLG were doing their own mats, and all of those mats that everyone wanted, because most of us had the old mats, we wanted the new ones.
Yeah.
And of course they weren't selling them because they were all the test prints, but they were selling all the old ones quite cheaply, and they sold buckets of terrain as well, but that was done after the fact because I hit them up and went, hey, we're in Australia, how many can we have and how much and postage and all the rest of it, and by the time I got there that was all gone.
Because
the Californian clubs and stores nabbed it all,
snapped them all up.
We sell so at WinterCon the FLG Australia dudes sold the mats from the tables,
yep,
and they're doing the same thing at CanCon. So
cool.
you can get a mat for $100, which is
that's really good.
It's really good. It's, I think, 140, maybe 130. Don't quote me on that. Like from their website with shipping.
Yeah.
So it's, you know what I mean? Flat 100 is pretty good. But I'm trying to, like, I keep trying to convince them to, like, hey, make a ton of terrain and you can sell it up for the event. And, like, they want to help me, but they don't.
They haven't gone for that one yet, surprisingly. Like, what a shock.
I know.
Let us know if you get that across the line.
20 tables of terrain and sell them? They're like, no, Chris, we don't want to do that. What are you doing?
Such a shame.
No, it's always an interesting one speaking to other TOs when we get the chance to, because a lot of the things we've experienced and we've learnt, those TOs have experienced and learnt the hard way as well. And I feel like there's a there's an encyclopedia worth of information we could write between all of us to give to new TOs, but no one would believe us until they did it.
No.
Oh, 100%. I didn't think it was... I knew it was hard, but I didn't... It's like a... Because like the last guy that was the TO for the last two before this one was Scott Duvall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember... Like you would see him, and like he was him by himself, I think, and then John Krause helped him with one of them, and or maybe John helped him for both. I can't remember 100%. But like you'd see them do stuff, and you're like, why are you doing that? This doesn't make any sense, and kind of thing. And then you get into the position, and you're like, okay, cool, I understand what you were trying to do there. But like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, now looking at it from a different perspective, I reckon we could do it better.
But I think that's it. We just have to learn from each other as well, and you know, be prepared to kind of go, you can't know what you don't know. So it's about being open, constantly open to learning and changing and developing and growing as we go.
Yeah, I agree.
All All right, so let's talk 2019 and what CanCon is for 2019, because over the years it's had a few different variations in format, but I understand we're sticking with something that's a bit more regular for the second year you're running it.
Yep, so we're doing the same as what we did last year, which is ITC Championship Missions. We're doing 8 rounds over 3 days, just like the LVO, except instead of going to a top 8 for the last 3 games like the LVO does and then running little RTTs underneath it, we're just doing, you got to win 8 games in a row or 7 games in a row and get a draw kind of deal to win the entire event.
Well, I suppose, I mean, LVO essentially does the same. The only difference is, of course, that everyone who doesn't make the top 8
doesn't play
for essentially for day 3 unless they want to go and play one of the singles RTTs.
Whereas this way, they do actually get to play for all 3 games.
Well, that's it.
Your
rank can change on day 3 at this point.
Yeah. So we had a lot of people, that happened to a lot of people as well.
That their rank changed?
Their rank changed. Yeah, going into the last day, like that, some people skyrocketed because they just won the last 3 games.
So do you do 3 games, 3 games, 2 day, 2 games?
We do 3-3-2.
Yep.
Yeah.
6-7. Yeah. 3-3-2. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And which have
gives you enough time for the awards at the end of day 3.
Mm.
Yeah, and because we want them to be able to see all the, like, you know, this CanCon has like stalls, it has like like you've got all your normal like kind of games, like board games, terrain and all that kind of people coming up, like Knights of Dice will be there, Combat Company, like all that stuff. But then you've got like people selling medieval armor, like your cosplay, your board games, card game, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So for the lunch break we make it 1.5 hours. And then the afternoon break, we make it, I think it's 45 minutes this year coming or whatever. So there's good breaks each day for you to, like, go and actually buy stuff.
Yeah,
so you've actually got quite a long day then. How long are the rounds?
Oh, yeah. 2 hours and 40 minutes.
So 2:40, I'm assuming you're starting quite early then. It must be like an 8 o'clock start? Just to put you on the spot.
The player's pack, which I have here.
Which you definitely wrote and know.
Yeah, 100%. No, we don't start till 9. We end at 7.
Oh wow, that is a long day.
Yeah, long day, and it can get warm.
Well, it is an Australian, like, despite being in Canberra. It's an Australian summer.
Yeah, CanCon's a like it. I would say that if you wanted to get into ITC and you haven't played in an event, this is the best event for you to go to.
How many points is it?
2,000 points. It's like, it's crazy, it's grueling, and you just learn. You learn so much. Like, the first CanCon I ever went to, I learned so much. You play so many lists, it's insane.
Yeah.
The funny thing for me with these sorts of events, having played it, I've done the ETC, I've done LVO, and we've obviously done some two-dayers across the, things like the ATC. And I did High Lords of Terror in Sydney back in 07, I think it was.
Something like that, yep.
You're right. As soon as you go outside of your own little usual tournament circuit, it's amazing how much you pick up and learn as you play, because there's just so much variance in the players and so many variances in the armies that you just don't see locally. You get used to seeing what you see.
But even just for people who are local to Canberra, if they haven't played in an event, to go and play for 3 days, 8 different games... It's a huge experience, particularly if you're used to just playing against 2 or 3 friends in a garage, then, you know, to experience something like that.
Yeah, look, and CanCon, like you say, we don't play ITC in WA at all at the moment. We've had a couple of events that we've sent off to be ranked for ITC, but we don't run the format over here. And I know it's quite a large component, if not the only component in terms of format over in particularly New South Wales and the ACT, and it's spread down through, obviously South Australia is big on it at the moment, and Victoria as well is sort of 50-50 now these days. So if we're talking to WA players in particular, what should they know when they start looking at the missions and the players pack that they might not have seen before in regards to the more sort of familiar
subtle
forms?
Nuances of the ITC.
It's a lot similar to ETC. Like, it's very close to an ETC style.
Well, it's progressive scoring, which is part of the bit I like the most.
Yeah, it's instead of it's nearly ETC, but without the Maelstrom deck. There's little weird things in there that they take away a little bit from, like, I guess the strategy wise of the whole mission aspect, but they give you like just speed in overall. And that's, you always have random deployment type, but you always have forced objectives.
So am I right in saying that you randomly determine the deployment type at the start of each round? And it's not, it's by table, not by round, isn't it?
Yeah. So everyone in round one will have a different table type. Like it's a roll, it's a D6.
So you're literally just rolling the D6 out of the book.
Yeah. So you could, if you were extremely unlucky at CanCon, or lucky depending on how your army was, you could play every single one of your 8 games on the same deployment type.
So you could play 8 Hammer and Anvils or 8 Search and Destroys.
It would be ridiculous. Like, do you know what I mean?
The probability's out there, yeah. But
it could happen.
Oh, wow.
But the
objective deployment is fixed, isn't it, for most of the missions?
Yeah, it's fixed. They changed it. It's fixed for all missions now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So last version of the pack, they did a 50-50 split. And now in the new pack, everything's fixed.
Oh, okay. I suppose, that helps speed the...
I didn't actually even like it at the start. It was real... I wanted, after doing some fixed, I was like, I don't really like this. I liked that whole like mind game that you're playing with the other dude at the start and stuff like that.
That's part of the biggest concern that I've heard from players here in WA, and it's certainly one. I mean, I played 7th edition ITC at LVO, which is obviously a different beast altogether these days. But it's certainly one of the biggest concerns we hear over here is that it almost feels like you're playing the same thing every round. Because you are fixed objectives with sort of similar to almost identical secondaries, depending on what you pick. But at the same time, I can see the benefits of some of that stuff as well. So
obviously, see, after playing some like a bunch of games of the new missions, it came very clear that you don't have it. Like you nearly don't have enough time in 2 hours and 30 minutes. To play 2,000 points. So anything you can do to shave off time, is really good. And then anything you can do is like, we figured out that in 2 hours and 40 minutes, if you spend 5 minutes each deploying, and we tell people this year, we're going to tell people this next year, we're writing a little blurb piece, we emailed everyone and everything. If you only spend 5 minutes deploying, you can get your 2K game in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
We've tested it, and because it's forced objectives and stuff, because like placing objectives, I've had games. I went to Menza. I think it was versus Diffie. I think it was versus Diffie 2 years ago. It was my very first game at Menza. We were playing these crazy ETC missions I've never played before. I'm like, Maelstrom deck, what is this? And it was the very first game. We spent like 10, 12, maybe even 15 minutes just placing objectives. Just screwing with each other. Because, like, do you know what I mean? It was just like, what's he going to do? I'm going to put it here. Like,
yeah, I do get it. I've seen many, many games where you come back and you go, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're still deploying. What do you mean you're still deploying? Oh, it took us 20 minutes to put objectives down. Why did it take you that long? I had to think about it.
You're like, no, dude, no.
It's not that like, there's some nuances to it, but it's not that complicated.
Yeah, the big thing, like every mission in ITC as well has different amount of objectives. There is one mission, I think, or two missions where you do place, you do choose where an objective is, but it's like you only place one objective.
Yeah.
And it's in your deployment zone. And like, and one is also, like, I think mission 3, one is forced in the middle, and then you both get an objective each. To place and somewhere in your deployment zone, kind of thing. But there's one, at least one objective will always be forced.
So
kind of thing.
From the sounds of it, and from reading the missions, thinking about this, and sort of us talking about the 2019 season here in WA, it's one that we've had the odd player ask about here for WA. But I know, obviously, it's essentially, it's the only missions that get played at most events on the East Coast these days. How long did it take?
Go.
That's all right. I was just going to say, how long is it taking players to adapt as these missions get changed? Because I know that the 8th edition Champions missions have gone through. Is this the third iteration of them or the fourth?
Yeah, this is the third, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's patch version 1.13.
Oh gosh.
Like, but realistically, this is there's only been three. Like the other ones were very, very subtle changes.
Yeah.
Going from what 7th edition ITC was to 8th edition ITC was a bit of a chunk to get used to. Mm-hmm. And then because ITC you pick your own secondaries from a list of...
It was 10 or 11?
Yeah. 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11? Mm-hmm. They changed how some of them work. Because you used to be able to score certain ones, like two on the same unit if you killed it. Now you can't do that for some of them. So that was a big shift, and that happened recently. But I went to Battle in the Bush, which was a 62-player event in Orange in October, I think it was, early October. And the mission, like, it only had come out maybe 3 weeks to a month before. No one had any problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, cool. So it was just... like, because ITC is one of those things where it looks very complicated. Like, you look at it and you're like, what is this? You score, like, in your player turn and then at the end of your turn? Like, what is this? But after you play one of the missions, you're like, oh, this is not really that bad.
Yeah.
I think there's, in terms of the whole ETC v ITC, oh God, I hate all these acronyms. you know, there's obviously components of the community that want to keep following that sort of the European stuff where, you know, they developed that ETC format a number of years ago, and then obviously ITC and FLG have led the way in regards to creating a more compiled independent tournament circuit, the ITC. Yeah, and that conflict across those two formats, I think what's been really positive to see is that we've had other states around Australia willing to run both side by side. And we've seen the Australian Masters event change to ITC this for the 2018 season. The event is going to be ITC for this one. And it's good to see that sort of crossover in terms of giving players multiple different options in the community. And I'm sort of keen to learn more about ITC for 8th edition for us because, you know, we haven't had many people ask for it, but at the same time, I think variety is always good. So
yeah, the only people from WA that I've talked to, because I'm a big pro ITC dude and I talk to them about ITC to them all the time, is Alan and Courtney.
Oh yeah.
They said to say hi as well. I said before. But other than those two dudes, yeah, I don't know anyone in WA that plays ITC. I used to not think having different comp things was good. But after, I think it's after I teared CanCon, and I was looking at that and then talking to other people, talking more with Diffie and stuff. I didn't really have any kind of relationship with Down Under pairings, for like a long time. And then Down Under Network came along and I started to talk to them, and Adam Camilleri, I love that dude. I met him at two CanCons ago. It's one of the things I love about 40K. You just meet all these cool people, become friends with them, and I became really good mates with him. So yeah, just from that and like talking to Diffie and getting, you know, into that, I don't know, to open my eyes to, like, you know what, probably not like trying to force a certain game system down people's throats is like a really good idea. It's not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
people need to have variety. Like, you just look at ARC. There are people that are going to ARC. Like, what do you, you know, it's going to be 200. We know it's going to be 200.
Yeah.
Dead set. Tons of those people will never play comp.
They play one tournament a year. And it's ARC.
Yeah. But like, at least they're playing. Do you know
and
what
that's,
mean?
That's what I was about to say. I think the main goal really is to get people playing, and whether they're playing ITC or ETC or, you know,
God forbid, rulebook missions.
Oh, I was actually going to say Drunk Hammer.
Drunk Hammer's fun.
So long as they're playing, that's kind of
anything with alcohol is fun.
Drunk Hammer is an interesting one. I'll give you the tip.
So are there any surprises or anything out of the ordinary that's happening at CanCon in any of the missions or anything that people should know about?
Not really anything surprising.
The prize,
other than the prize support, we streamlined the prize support this year. We had a lot of like not individual like small people, but like we had a lot of prize support from a lot of just like combat company and mm-hmm. you know different type of dudes this year. This time we tried to go with just one massive. Prize support people, which is Knights of Dice, but then we found OTP Terrain, and those people are amazing, and so we've gone with them as well.
I was just talking to Emma from OTP today.
I saw your thing. I was like, this is amazing.
Yep, I was literally there checking out all the new stuff they're producing at the moment, which is really cool.
I shared that on the CanCon event. I was like, this is what you could win. After finding out them and looking at them and finding that through Down Under Pairings, we're going to go with them in a big way as well. But then the big one is FLG via FLG US and FLG Australia have decided to actually invest in the Australian scene, which is really good because, you know, hey, we're using their tournament missions and their tournament thing, so it'd be awesome to see them do it. And via us and them, we're putting, what is it? It's like $2,000 prize value, and you get if you win the ITC in Australia and you come to CanCon, and you win the entire thing, which means you probably have to win at CanCon or come top three if you're like really far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You win flights, a ticket. To LVO and accommodation for LVO for 2020. So it's the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously with...
So plenty of time to get yourself organised so that you can actually get there.
Well, LVO is 2 weeks later, isn't it?
I think next year it's 1 week later, yeah. So it's like... Or maybe 2 weeks. Yeah. So it'd be one of those things where it's...
Yeah, getting the time off
and whatnot. We were trying to do it, but then we didn't know how visas worked.
Yeah.
So the plan was like, listen, we're going to get your name, and if you want the prize, we're going to put it in your name, and we're just going to give you the ticket, and then if you don't show up or you want to give it to someone else or you do whatever, that's on you.
Yeah.
It's still a big prize.
Big check. It's so all written on there. People love checks.
To be very clear to those of you listening at home, you have to win the ITC Australia rankings and be at CanCon.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's 100% correct. If you don't come to CanCon, you will not win the prize.
And it's not a case of winning CanCon wins you that prize, because you could win CanCon and still not get that prize because you weren't the number one rank in Australia.
100%.
Okay. But just making sure we're very clear on that.
Yeah.
So what happens to the prize if the number one rank doesn't play in CanCon?
Number two?
They don't get it. They don't get it.
So the prize disappears?
No, go to number whoever, like, if to be eligible, you have to have the most points in ITC in Australia after CanCon.
Oh, okay.
And be at CanCon. So if you're number one, if for some reason you can't come or you don't rock up, and the guy that's number two gets to CanCon and he might do terrible, but he still beats you somehow and is still number two in Australia, he wins the prize.
Okay.
She wins the prize.
So at this point, someone who rocks up to CanCon, and it could be any one of them in theory, it won't be because of the rankings, but in theory, if you rock up to CanCon, you potentially have the shot at this prize. You just need a bunch of people above you who are ranked higher than you to not turn up.
Yeah.
If you have 400 points going into CanCon, you can still win it.
Cool.
Because
CanCon,
exciting.
Like CanCon at 128, I think, 126, 128 players, whatever it was. Martino won the thing. This year, and he got like 170 ITC points, which is a lot ITC things. So you can win CanCon and just skyrocket above people,
and
especially
sliding scale for points, isn't it? So the more people that turn up, the more points are up for grabs as well.
Yeah, 100%. And all the people, like, because there's a multiplier on how many games you win as well. So if you win 8 games in a row, your multiplier is insane.
Oh, okay.
And it skyrockets. You can get tons of points.
So there you go. The goal there is to obviously go as many straight as possible. Obviously, if you can go 8 straight, you probably win the event. But it's definitely a good one for those of you looking for ITC ranking points to go and get over there too. I know there's several WA guys who are keen on making the trek.
So just you said, you know, he or she. Just out of interest, how many female players do you generally get coming to CanCon?
Last year, I think we had our first one.
Oh.
In the 40K event. Yeah. There's tons of females there, but in the 40K, for the four or the three that I've been to, the fourth one being next year, we have Oliver Byler. I think that's her name, or maybe that's her partner's name. I feel real bad now. I think that's her partner's name. I forgot what her name is. They're ITC players that moved from the US to Australia.
Oh, wow.
And randomly moved to Canberra and they've played. And I'm pretty sure they've played in like LVOs and stuff and everything. And they're really good. And she is, I think, the only female that we had last year. I'm pretty sure. And I think she will be the only female we'll have next year as well.
That's a bit of a shame, I suppose. But at the same time, it's kind of the norm for a lot of these events.
I wish we had more.
Yeah.
But we're getting more.
We just haven't, for the events that I've been to this year on the East Coast and events that I've seen, I don't think we've had any really other than the one that's come from the US.
We almost hit double digits at doubles. We had nine out of 64. 68.
That's still really like that. That's really good.
Yeah,
like stats wise, going from where it's usually like zero.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
it's an interesting
one. Steadily getting the women coming along to tournaments by themselves now as well, as a, you know, as opposed to coming in the mixed doubles event.
Yeah, we always have a few.
Yeah, I was just wondering what it was like. Yeah, over on the East Coast, really.
The 2017 LVO that. There was a group of, was it seven women for LVO the year I went? I remember seeing photos of them. Because while I was there, you got in touch with me and said, hey, go and say hello. So it's an interesting dichotomy that occurs in that still trying to figure out whether it's a level of interest or whether it's a perception or what it is. But it's certainly interesting to see the differences around the world and around the country as well.
Yeah. Indeed. So earlier I put you on the spot and said, what are things that happened that you thought, oh my goodness, we're definitely not doing that again. So from this year's event, is there anything that worked really well and that you think, oh wow, no, we really need to do that again. And, you know, we think that that's a really positive learning that we took from it.
Yep. 100%. We had a TV. We had like a 32-inch TV that we had the game time on, so you could turn at any point, look at the TO's desk and go, oh my God, we have an hour, hurry up, kind of thing. And then we use that as well, like, look at the TV, you know, like, you know, game rounds are starting, look at the TV, like kind of thing, so you could see the, because some people were having like random arguments, like, dude, we got like 2 hours left. It's like, no, dude, we got an hour. Like, hurry up. So that was really good. That was probably the biggest thing that we're going to bring to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Best faction. We had like the year before we did, not this year, but last year, like best faction, cause it's a ITC thing. But we were only getting like a certificate. So this year we did like a model from that faction painted on like a little plinth thing a certificate. We want to take that into this coming CanCon. We're not going to do a model this time on a plinth because that was just insane. I don't know why we did that. But we're still going to give away something other than just a certificate.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big things that we wanted. Oh, and best team. So we had, you could register, like we did it with ITC teams. Mm. So, and we let people just make one up on the spot.
Yeah.
Like if you just wanted to find two dudes or females or whoever people, and you wanted to be like, hey, let's make a team. Like, do you know what I mean? Kind of thing. And you call it whatever the hell you wanted. But if you put it in BCP when you put your name in or even later, we didn't really care.
Yeah.
The top three scores, and you could have as many people in your team as you wanted to, but the top three scores of your team, we all added up, and then the team that won the most won a ton of terrain.
Oh, cool.
It was like $350, I think, worth of Knights of Dice terrain.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like we gave $4,000 worth of terrain, like just Knights of Dice terrain, away at this CanCon. Next year's CanCon, the prize pool, I think, if we get 200 players, the prize pool will be nearly $10,000.
That's amazing.
That's huge.
We're just trying to give away, because we know that the community is very terrain-based.
Yeah.
We're basically just giving away terrain. We don't care what anyone says. There's been a push by some people to be like, hey, why don't you give vouchers? And hey, why don't you do this? And we're like, nah, we're giving you terrain. If you don't like it, literally don't come.
Yeah.
I think the
we just don't have terrain at events. So yeah. if we give you terrain,
we'll
bring
have
it
some
to
that we can borrow.
I also think by giving terrain or over something like, say, box sets or gift vouchers, you're actually
everyone
doing...
Everyone can use it, though.
And that's what I'm saying. I think it's a really good thing because as soon as you give someone a voucher, first of all, it's less tangible. It doesn't mean as much because they're going to take it and hand it to someone else and get a box of something. If you give them a box of something that they don't need
they don't
or
collect,
use,
yeah.
it doesn't mean anything. And even if they do collect it, it potentially still doesn't mean anything. By giving something that they played on or if there's new terrain that, you know, it's going to benefit their hobby and the other people that they interact with at home. You know, there's a lot of positivity that comes out of that, apart from the fact that there is terrain in the community for you to borrow.
Yeah.
I think it's a really positive idea.
It gives us as well, like with the deal that we have with Knights of Dice and the deal we have with FLG and or even the deal we have with OTP, they've got a pretty good deal going for us buying terrain off them. We can extend it. Like there was a big thing 2 years ago with like if you didn't come in the top like five, you weren't winning anything.
Yeah.
And there was a big push of like there was because there's people that know they're not going to do well at CanCon.
But
like do you know what I mean?
The
they're going for the experience.
Yeah.
They like running because there's like this year at CanCon we gave away 3 paint prizes that weren't voted on. Like we actually went around, we looked at armies, and we didn't do a scoring system per se, but we had individual judges that weren't playing in the event that went around and said, these are the 3 dudes I want to win. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, this is the same. And then we went and looked at all their stuff and like made sure it's like, that's not your mate, stuff like that. And they were really good painted armies. And we gave away like tons of stuff to those dudes. We got Cromlech gave us like a paint thing as well to give away to a dude and stuff. So like, you know, there's people that know they're not going to do very well or might get mid pack or whatever, but, we wanted them to be able to win something as well. So we've got like, you know, we have 3 paint prizes, we've got the best team prize. We've got, I think this CanCon, we went up to like top 15.
Oh, wow.
Like we went all the way down to top 15. And then we did like the highest SOS. I think we did Mediocre Man. Me and Chris Yates both hate the Wooden Spoon Award. we don't feel it's a thing at all. So we changed it to like, what was it? Youngest player.
Okay.
We found like youngest player, and then we found we got 3 dudes that were like first event.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is your first event. Awesome. We got some prizes. Yeah. Have a prize. Do you know what I mean? And then we had, which is coming back this year again, if you bring the best table of terrain, and I'm pretty sure it's cash, it's like 50 or 100 bucks.
Oh, cool.
You win that. And that's sponsored by Crane Productions. They're like a LARPing kind of, you know, RPG kind of company thing. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool.
Well, I've got lots of other questions about ITC, and I now know whose brain I'm going to come and pick because it's a system that I've dabbled in and played a dozen games within 7th, and I haven't really looked at it for 8th, and it's something that I'm keen to explore a little bit more of because, like you say, variety can be a really positive thing for the community to experience. But before we go, we're going to go back through one more time. So CanCon is the 26th, 27th, 28th of January, happening in Mitchell in the Australian Capital Territory. So fly to Canberra and come and play 3 days of 40K as well as checking out the convention. Tickets are $80, I believe.
Yep.
And there'll be links in the show notes for it as well. You can also head to the CanCon 2019 40K ITC Australian Championships Facebook page, which has got links there as well. If you've got any questions, you can also post them there. The guys have probably got 100 tickets out of the 200 left by the time you hear this, maybe less, hopefully less.
Mm-hmm.
we're gonna hope that that's the case. It's 3 detachments, no proxies, 200 player cap, 2 hours and 40 minutes per round, 8th edition ITC missions, which can be
points.
Which are on the FLG Frontline Gaming page, I believe, the missions are for download.
Yes. I'll send you a link as well.
Yeah, look, we'll make sure we've got as many links as we can in the show notes for anyone listening. If you've got any questions, you can get in touch with Chris, who's talking with us today, aka Uni. You can talk to the other Chris, who's online. I think is Mr. December, isn't he?
Oh no, he's just Chris Yates. We just call him Mr. December.
Oh, okay. There we go. And we've also got to thank in advance Matt Blair and Michael Moore for the assistant TO's roles that they will inevitably fill to the best of their abilities in January of 2019. So thank you very much for supporting another awesome event in Australia. If you've got any other questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up as well. We'll be doing our best to pass on all the WA guys your info so that we can get as many WA boys over so that we can start taking trophies from you. Or girls. I'd love to see one of our lovely ladies going over there and taking prizes off the lads. That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
I'd love to see anyone from WA.
Oh, there's definitely.
I keep trying to convince Courtney and Alan to come.
Well, when I saw Courtney a couple of days ago, he was talking about heading over. So I'll keep working on that for you. But have you got anything else to share with anyone? You're more than welcome to now, man.
Yeah, there's one big thing that's happening for CanCon or for Oz ITC Championships that I forgot to mention, which we've it's everywhere, so people should know about it. Down Under Network is actually going to be streaming the entire thing.
Oh, cool.
We got a ton of bandwidth for them, and we're just letting them go nuts. They're going crazy. They're trying to stay on the top table, but like, because there's, you know, 6 games before we get to the big top table, or 5 games before we get to the big like hardcore one. We're gonna like let them move around a bit, like move people in there that are, like, you know, good interesting matchups as well.
Cool armies and. Actually, that's
cool armies and stuff.
Quick question for you. Do armies have to be fully painted?
No. So the way we run it is you don't have to be fully painted, but if you want to win any prizes, you have to be min 3 colors and based.
Oh, okay.
So you can...
Interesting.
Sometimes people rock up with, like, you know, weird knights that they've just literally built the night before.
Or the morning of.
Or the morning of. I think we had some of that at WinterCon because the Night Codex had just come out. WinterCon was like in July kind of deal. But mostly it's min 3 colors and painted because there's just insane prizes and people want to win them.
Yeah, fair enough.
Awesome.
But it's something we toyed with. We wanted to go to minimum.
Yeah.
Min painted in 3 colors, but it's one of the things, like 8th edition, like as soon as 8th edition came out, a ton of people got back into 40K.
Yeah.
And it's like 8th edition, I find 8th edition tons of fun to play. And so we didn't want to, like, you know, we're going up in the momentum and we didn't want to, like, kind of steamroll that in any way. We added $5 to the ticket price so to try and get cool more prizes. So.
And $5 well spent for CanCon tickets.
Well, it's $80 for 3 days, like, you try and compare that to, like, you and me have had this conversation before, Michael, about, like, you know, how much stuff should be and doing stuff. Like, realistically, it should be more.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But people, like, wouldn't come because it's, like, for $80, you can't even see 3 movies for $80 these days. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, the value of tournaments is a whole other issue that I'd love to get into you, but... because we agree on a lot of that stuff, but we also understand the hurdles. But we don't want to take you away from your family and your other commitments because it's getting a little bit on in the day for us and it's getting late for you. Yeah. So
we'll need to go to bed soon.
We have to say thank you very much for your patience with some of the audio issues we've had for today and working with us with the timing and everything.
And generally, thanks for coming on and chatting to us about CanCon for 2019.
Oh, no, like 100%. Thank you guys for having me on. This has been a blast.
Well, look, man, we wish
happy
you all
to come
best.
On. Happy to come on any other time.
Well, maybe we'll do another one about. Maybe we'll do another one about values and events and stuff, and we can get on our various soapboxes and I'll yell at people. Yeah. So, but look, man, if we don't talk to you before, and I'm sure we will, but we wish you all the best for CanCon 2019. We hope it's an amazing event. We're going to be because I haven't bought a diamond ring. It's look,
you've got to remember that nobody else knows what that's about because we lost that bit of audio.
That's ripped off. I can't even say I edited it out.
Yeah.
It looks like my chances of getting over to CanCon for 2019 are a bit slim.
Somewhat slim, maybe.
I'll aim for 2020.
Technically, she just said a diamond ring. Just take a picture of one.
Man, I can go and get one for like $50 from Zammels,
no,
I'm sure.
No, you can't.
Actually, no, you probably
second hand from Cash Converters?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
So
I've got options here.
It's been wonderful having you here today, and I think now we might be time to say goodbye.
All right, we'll be back to wrap up the episode in just a second. Hopefully you took some information out of that for CanCon 2019.
Yeah, I think before we sort of do the wrap up, we just need to apologise. We recognise that there were a few audio issues in that, and some of that was me coughing, and normally we would be able to pause, but because we had the three people chatting, it became difficult and I couldn't stop coughing.
Yeah, and the audio parts
buzzing started.
Yeah, we
randomly at times, and
we have to say thank you to Chris for his
big
patience.
Thank you to Chris, as we had to stop and start the recording I think 4 or 5 times to try and deal with some of those issues.
Yeah, so. And to this, I mean, obviously we're going to, or I'm going to do my best to try and clean up as much of that noise as I can in post, but yeah. Because it was recorded via Discord and Skype, because we tried multiple ways of trying to eliminate some of the noise. I just don't know how much I'm going to be able to fix at the time of recording. So if it was a bit buzzy at points, I can only apologise. Mm. But
we don't know why that happened.
No, because I think it was actually
brilliant. Because if you don't know why it happened, you don't know how to stop it happening next time. Clearly was an issue because we had to record 6 times. So.
I still think it's probably to do with the connection that we had.
Yeah,
but. Sadly, with him on the East Coast and us on the West Coast, there's not much way of fixing that other than trial and error.
Yeah.
So thanks again to Chris for coming along and talking ITC and...
And your patience with us for the technical issues that we had.
So we definitely encourage you to check out CanCon. All the links are in the show notes, so you can go and check out the Facebook page and tickets and all the rest of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, before we wrap up, I went out and saw the team at OTP Terrain today, mm-hmm. which we talked about with Chris just a moment ago. And I got to see all their new terrain that's sort of in the works that they've just bought new licenses for.
How many printers did they have going?
6. Wow. There's 6 going at the moment, and they're talking a resin printer in the future as well. And Ooh. Not the distant future, the immediate future,
awesome.
Which is really exciting. They're having some little technical foibles with the 6mm terrain because they're doing this really intricate, delicate work. And Emma's going, it's not perfect. And I'm looking at it going, are you serious right now? Like... It was really amazing. I did a quick live just prior to recording today. So you can go and check that out on the Facebook page and you'll get a very brief glimpse of what's been worked on. But the terrain I show in that video, it comes in pieces and there's little 3D printed clips.
Oh, cool.
That lets you modularize it and build it however you like. Mm. And I was a bit like, when she gave it to me, I sort of went, plastic clips don't generally work really well. But because these are 3D printed to... 100 microns tolerance, so 0.1 of a millimeter, they're really accurate and they hold and hold and hold. And I was really worried I was going to snap it. And she's going, no, you need force. And it took actual force to separate them once she'd connected them.
Yeah.
But it was all intact afterwards. Like I didn't snap anything. I didn't break anything. It was really, yeah, I was really worried about that actually. But it was really cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing the next batch of terrain that came out. I also got to see Steve's cathedral that they 3D printed.
Yeah.
Which I'll try and find a photo from the OTP site and I'll put it in the show notes. It's huge.
Well, that seemed to be Steve's reaction to it as well. Oh my God, I didn't realize it was going to be that big.
It is freaking enormous. It would have been 15 to 18 inches long. It's a sort of a T-shaped, very traditional style cathedral. And the T would have been 15, 18 inches long by 12 inches wide. All the roofs come off, it's wide enough you can drive a rhino through it. All the roofing comes off, the tower comes into like 4 pieces and then the roof comes off that as well. Huh. And I think she said it was two, or don't quote me on this and don't hold OTP to a price. I want to say it was 275.
Hmm.
And this building would have been easily, easily worth that in my mind. It's huge. So check out OTP Terrain if you haven't already. They've sort of come onto the scene at show this year and made a splash. And
Now they're everywhere.
And now they're struggling to keep up with demand, which is great.
Brilliant.
So
it is fantastic to see for, you know, this is a down-to-earth Perth family, which, you know, mum, dad, kids kind of thing, who would just see a need, fill a need.
Yeah, and look, we might even have to try and get them on for an episode to talk about 3D printing, because I think there's a lot of interest out there in the community as to what 3D printing can and can't do, particularly if they get hold of a resin printer, because I definitely am keen to see one of those in action. But yeah, it was really cool to hang out with Emma and talk about that, and then talk about what the relationship between OTP and Objective Security is going to be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that's all locked away, then we'll be able to
share that information.
Yep,
as well.
Share that and announce that to the Patreons first. But in the meantime, as well, check out their website and the huge range of stuff. They're going to be giving us price support for Masters in a couple of weeks' time.
Awesome.
And they're also going to be doing a discount for Masters attendees in the lead up to Black Friday, which they're going to do a big. So basically, you're going to get the Black Friday special before Black Friday.
Beautiful.
Which is really exciting. Is there anything else I've forgotten?
Probably.
That's no good.
I think most important thing for us really is that Masters is coming up really quickly. Tickets are still available, so grab your tickets. We always want to see a great event, and the more people who we have attending events, the better the atmosphere is, and more opportunities to create social networks and all of the really positive things that come from events, as well as a group of people getting to play six games over 2 days.
We're also going to try and do our usual thing over the weekend and live stream as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
The signal out there seems to be really hit and miss, though, so I know that we've had some problems in the past with it. So we'll do our best to get as much coverage for you guys who cannot attend as we possibly can. And then by the time we finish Masters and we head to the UK,
mm-hmm.
we've got a couple of very cool meetings that we're doing, and we'll do some live stuff while we're there very briefly. And
there should be no interruption to the podcast.
No,
because
we're going
to
pre-record a bunch of episodes.
Yeah,
try and get ahead of the game.
That's the plan.
We're ahead at the moment.
Sort of.
Well, we are.
Yeah, we are.
So it might only be 4 days, but it's ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty good for us.
Well, normally it's recording the day before or the morning of. So, look. Until the next episode, though. The next episode will be. Will it be post-Masters?
Yes, it will, because this will go out 10 days before Masters, and that'll go out 4 days after Masters.
Yes, and the problem we've got with that is it'll be pre-recorded, so we'll have no idea
who won.
So congratulations to the winner of Masters in advance.
Oh no, I'm sure we can record something on the Monday and drop it in. Oh no, we can't, because we go on holiday.
We get on the plane and go.
Yeah, no, we can't record it. Okay, pre-record it. Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks very much for listening, guys, and we will see you in the next episode.
Happy gaming, everyone.
You've been listening to the Objective Secured podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, you can visit our website, objectivesecured.com.au. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/objectivesecured, or you can email us, obsec@optusnet.com.au. Thanks for listening.